Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the Denver Broncos. This is the Broncos Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Broncos Wire editor, Joe Heath.
All right, we're getting ready for week one of the NFL season. The Denver Broncos open up on Monday Night Football, the late game, if you're on Eastern Standard Time. It's a 10 p.m. kickoff. But right now, all the news right now is not about the Tennessee Broncos opener. It's about Von Miller, who, breaking within the last day, he's expected to miss the entire 2020 NFL season after suffering an ankle injury. He's about to undergo season-ending surgery. I'm here with John Heath of the Broncos Wire. John, what's the latest on this?
The latest developments could change moment by moment. So listeners who are leading this, if there's anything different than what we're saying right now, they can head over to Broncos Wire to see the latest update on Miller. But as of today, the latest update was actually that he dislocated his tendon, which is obviously much better than a tear. And so there's a possibility he'll have to likely undergo surgery, like you said. And typically that surgery takes about 5 to 6 months to recover. But there's a possibility in the absolute best case scenario that he could recover in 3 months from that surgery.
Oh, interesting.
So if that best case scenario happens, he could come back in late December, or if they make the playoffs, he could come back for the playoffs. So it may not be likely, but it's possible. So he'll probably undergo surgery. They'll probably put him on injured reserve, but he would be eligible to return from injured reserve if he is able to recover from it this year.
All right, so there's some silver lining there. All hope is not lost. But we do know that, at least for the regular season, it looks like the Broncos are going to be without their leader on the defensive side of the football. I mean, we talked last week, John, about this being, you know, Drew Lock having to take that leap and having to take over that leadership role. Man, now it's his team, because without Von Miller out there, he's the guy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's a lot more focus on the offense now. The offense has got to step up. They got to score points. The defense for the last few years has kept them in a lot of games, and they've taken some pressure off the offense. And now there's even more pressure on the offense going into the season than there would have been anyway.
We'll dive more into the Miller situation here coming up. But John, since we talked last, obviously the Broncos have finalized their final 53 for week one. You guys have done a ton of reporting on the practice squads and with the trackers and all that stuff, letting fans know who the hell's on the team, because nobody's watching preseason. We don't know. What maybe surprised you about Denver's final 53?
Yeah, the biggest surprise was Todd Davis not getting cut, and you have to think that it was strictly a money move. They saved $4.5 million in salary cap space by cutting Todd Davis, and you have to think that was the only reason. He has a calf injury that he was coming along from, and he may have been limited or may have not played in week one, but it seemed like after the first week he would have been okay for the rest of the season. So it doesn't seem like it was an injury related move, and he's been a good run stuffer for them. And you would think in week one, going up against Derrick Henry and the Titans rushing attack, you want to have a run stuffer. So I think it was largely a salary cap move, because the NFL's salary cap could be as low as $175 million next year. Hmm. So they're going to want to roll over as much from this year as possible into next season. So right now, Josie Jewell is in line to start in the place of Todd Davis, and it'll be interesting to see how he does filling that role.
All right, I want to get your leadoff thought on this matchup with the Titans. We have to wait all the way until the late game on Monday night to watch it. So you'll see a lot of football, John, before you get to this Denver game.
Yeah, but I know.
But, you know, I'm thinking about the adjustments that the Broncos are going to have to make now without Von Miller, their leader on defense, and you're going against this Titans offense that is just going to pound the ball at you constantly with Derrick Henry and its stout offensive line, right? I mean, I kind of hate the whole plan with the Titans signing Ryan Tannehill to manage the game and hand the ball off and try to win the game that way. I don't love that style of football. I think it's kind of boring, but that doesn't mean it's going to be any easier to defend for the Broncos with Henry, who's just a beast, and he's fast and he's big and he's strong and he's got a great offensive line coming at you. What adjustments do you think the Broncos are going to have to make to handle him?
Yeah, like you said, it's not a attractive style of football, but it works. They got him deep in the playoffs last year, and Henry was the leading rusher, so they got something that works for them. And the thing with Miller, everyone knows he's a fantastic pass rusher. He's the Broncos all-time leader in sacks, but I think a lot of fans don't realize how good he is against the run. He's very good at setting the edge, and he's a very good run stopper for them too. So that is an underrated part of losing Miller, just of him setting the edge with Derrick Henry coming at them. And last year, when Bradley Chubb went down with a ACL injury, Jeremiah Tatu replaced him. And you would think, because Tatu stepped up last year, that he you'd be in the running to replace Miller as well. But on the depth chart, Itachi is listed as Bradley Chubb's backup, and Chubb will probably be on a snap count. He's still coming back from that ACL injury, so Itachi is probably going to be rotating in with Chubb. And then behind Miller on the depth chart is Malik Reed. So right now, unless they make a trade or bring in some big name, the in-house candidate to replace Miller is Malik Reed. And he's been primarily used as a pass rusher, so it will be very interesting to see how he does stepping up in run defense.
So it's interesting, right? When you're specifically with the Titans matchup here, the Broncos lose one of their playmakers on defense, like you just talked about. The Titans add Jadeveon Clowney right in the 11th hour, right before the season, after that wild thing where he was about to go to the Saints on a sign and trade. The NFL nicks that. He ends up with the Titans. So what's coming? What is Denver talking about with in regards to Clowney joining that defense, and what kind of dimension you think that could add for the Titans in this one?
Yeah, think about if that deal hadn't got done, if you waited until now with Miller going down, Clowney could have been a fit for the Broncos.
Wow, great point.
Obviously, that's not happening, but he's in Tennessee now, and yeah, he could be a big problem for them, because Garrett Bowles, he's been wildly inconsistent at left tackle, and Elijah Wilkinson, he's a good backup, but they weren't planning to have him start at right tackle. Juwan James was going to be the right tackle this year, and he opted out of the season because of COVID. So they have two offensive tackles that aren't ideal starters in the NFL, or at least haven't been to this point in their career. Who knows? Maybe one or both of them could take a step forward this year. Broncos fans would love to see that. But based on what we've seen from them so far, they haven't been very good tackles, and they haven't been very good in pass protection. And Clowney, he's not an elite pass rusher, but he had, like, I think only 3 sacks last year. But it's not always only about sacks. It's about getting pressures too. And obviously, like we talked about Miller, it's about stuffing the run too. So Clowney, because of his conditioning and because he missed training camp, he'll probably be on some kind of snap count. He's probably not going to play the whole game for the Titans. But when he is in the game, he's somebody they're going to have to account for, and he could be someone that causes some disruption.
So interesting on the fantasy standpoint, we're getting our fantasy minute from thehuddle.com here coming up. I look at the running back spot for the Broncos. We talked about it a little bit last week, John. Phillip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon, what kind of a split are you expecting, and where do you think those guys should go in fantasy lineups? Maybe in the flex spot, or would you feel comfortable starting one of them?
I would not want to start either one of them. If I would maybe flex Melvin Gordon. I think he's a fine flex, but I wouldn't want to have him be one of my top two running backs, because it's a little too hard to predict, because the Broncos even listed them as co-starters on their depth chart. And it's like, okay, thanks for that. That from a fantasy perspective, that doesn't help us out
That's
at
brutal.
All. But just from a logic perspective, they gave Melvin Gordon $8 million a year, and Phillip Lindsay is making peanuts on his rookie contract. So you don't pay someone like that just to do a strictly 50-50 split. So you would expect that Gordon would be the main guy. Lindsay will get his share of touches, but you would expect Gordon to be the main guy, and I expect him to also be the goal line guy. So he's more likely to get short rushing touchdowns. So I think if you're going to pick between one of them to start, I would start Gordon.
More advice for your fantasy lineups right here. You're listening to the Broncos Wire podcast.
Fantasy football is about proving that you are better than your friends.
Sit them, start them. These are the fantasy picks of the week.
It will kill me if this game ends in a tie.
I need this win. This game's pretty much done.
With Corey Bonini from thehuddle.com.
Corey Bonini with thehuddle.com here to talk to you about 3 fantasy options that I can't wait to play in week number 1. Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Gardner Minshew. He doesn't have a running game to speak of, and he's probably going to have to throw the ball a lot to keep Jacksonville even remotely close in this one. Volume alone should keep him in the number 1 range for quarterbacks, but it might not be pretty in terms of turnovers. Sticking with that same matchup on the other side of things, Marlon Mack. Jacksonville has lost just about everyone of note on defense in the last year or so. This was one of the best fantasy matchups for running backs last year, and one could make an argument that this team has regressed. Mack was good for 16 and 19 fantasy points, respectively, in PPR last year, and he's not even a receiving type back. Jonathan Taylor will take some touches, but Mack should be able to get his too. And the Seattle-Atlanta matchup has DK Metcalf poised to be one of the top receivers of the week. He scored twice last year against them, accounting for 2 of his 7 touchdowns on the season. Seattle should be a little bit better on the back end, but rookie cornerback AJ Terrell will make his first pro appearance, and Metcalf can probably have his way with him. In week number 1, don't get too cute. Trust the guys who you drafted highly. Don't try to take too many many gambles and take chances where it's smart. Continuity probably will be the biggest factor in success entering the season.
For more fantasy football tips and advice, check out thehuddle.com, part of the USA Today Sports Network.
It's called a freak ankle injury that happened yesterday in practice. Ugh. And this is, you know, and this is that lightning strike that can happen at any time, whether it's practice, whether it's game. You just never know. And we've been insulated from that because I think the practices haven't been as intense as maybe they would otherwise be in past years in training camp because they're focused on getting guys in shape and right. keeping guys healthy and keeping guys ready.
Yep.
And we haven't had the cross-pollination with joint practices and preseason games. And now here we are, week one of intense preparations, and there's a freak injury in Von Miller. By all appearances and based on all reports, done for the year.
So I'm back here with John Heath of the Broncos Wire. And as we talked about earlier on, John, maybe not. Maybe this is not a career threatener. Maybe this is not a season threatener. Maybe Vaughn could have a chance to come back if the Broncos were to make a playoff run. We do know there's another wild card spot this year. So chances of making the playoffs improved for everyone just a little bit there. But for me, anytime you see an ankle injury this early in the season threatening a season, if you know what I mean, that's scary because it's an ankle, right? It's not a knee. It's an ankle. So that makes me feel like it's a little scarier when you hear ankle season over before week one even has arrived.
Yeah, it's a crusher. It's a crushing to the spirit of the fans and the spirit of the defense. It's just terrible news. And like we said, it's possible that he could come back, but that's the absolute best case scenario. There's obviously no guarantee that he'll be back this year. That's just if everything goes perfectly right as it could. So best case scenario, he misses most of the year and comes back at the very end, but perhaps a more likely scenario is missing the whole year, and it's a big blow to the defense.
Yeah, and Miller's 31 years old now. He wasn't coming off a Von Miller-like year last year. He wasn't like the terror that we've seen in the past. 8 sacks, which, as you alluded to earlier in the show, that doesn't really mean everything, but it wasn't like he wasn't the dominant force that we're used to. You know, what do you think this could do long-term? He's losing a full season of football. He's going to be another year older. Maybe he's going to be nursing this injury. Does this worry you at all about his future?
Yeah, it is concerning for Broncos fans because he's about to become a free agent after the 2021 season. And when he's coming back from a big injury and when he has a big salary cap hit after going into next year, there's a possibility that the Broncos may just say, all right, we're not going to have a $24 million salary cap hit for a 32-year-old linebacker coming off a serious injury. And his contract has a contract option where they could opt out of it and eat around $4 million in dead money and save around $18 million in salary cap space. And when you have someone like Justin Simmons up for a contract extension, and if they extend Philip Lindsay and the other young guys they have coming up, they're going to need salary cap space, especially like we said earlier, if the salary cap is lower than it usually is. So at the very least, I think they're going to definitely ask Von Miller to restructure his contract, because I don't think the way his contract is now, I don't think at 32 years old, coming off a very serious injury, that they're going to have him play on that contract in 2021.
So as we talked about earlier, the Titans, they decided to re-up with Ryan Tannehill. They didn't go after, you know, Tom Brady or Teddy Bridgewater or some of these other guys that were on the market. No, they re-upped with Ryan Tannehill, who, as I said, very boring, not very sexy, handing the ball off to Derrick Henry. He's very happy doing that, but we got to give him credit, right? He did lead the team to the AFC title game last year. It was a pretty good game with the Chiefs. Beat the Patriots in Foxborough. That was pretty nice. And he led the league in passer rating, if you could believe it. But the Titans do give up a lot of sacks. That's one thing. And Tannehill is, when they do ask him to pass, he can get sacked and you can get to him and you can really disrupt him because he's more comfortable handing that ball off. Let's be honest. So pressure and getting to him is going to be key. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. An ideal situation for the Broncos would be building a lead on the Titans, making them abandon the run and making them to pass to stay in the game. And then even with Miller sidelined and even with Chubb not completely 100%, when Chubb is on the field and Malik Reed and Jeremiah Tachu, they're promising pass rushers, especially Reed. He's a young guy. He could have a real nice career ahead of him. And then they just acquired Jurrell Casey from the Titans this offseason for just a 7th round pick. And so Casey, in his very first game with his new team, he's going against the old team that didn't want to pay him his contract and traded him for a late round pick. So he's going to have some extra motivation. And he's a 50 sack guy, and he's an interior pass rusher. So that's even more impressive than the outside edge rushers who get around the edge. So with Casey in the middle, Chubb on the outside, and Atachu and Reed rotating on the other side, I think they'll be able to generate some pressure even without Miller. And I think that will go a very big way towards disrupting the Titans offense when they do have to throw.
I'm on the East Coast. It's going to be a late start for me, 10:10 p.m. on Monday night. But I'll be
I'll be
paying attention.
Yeah, that's so brutal.
And I'll be more interested to see these young guys on the Broncos. I want to see Drew Lock. I want to see Jerry Jeudy. I want to see KJ Hamler. I want to see how these guys look. I mean, on the young guys, are you excited to see what they look like, John?
Yeah, Hamler is still dealing with a hamstring injury. He's a little iffy on if he'll be able to play in Week One. But
bummer.
Definitely Jerry Jeudy, their first round pick. Everybody wants to see what he's going to do in Week One. I think in their first game, they might have Sutton on the outside on one side and Tim Patrick on the outside on the other side, with Jerry Jeudy kind of playing in the slot. And I think with the way he runs routes and how fast he is, I feel like that's a really good role for him. And Cortland Sutton's a big, strong guy that will go up and get the ball on the outside. And when you have your safety worried about Sutton doing that and having Jerry Jeudy carve up the middle of the field, I think it could be really exciting to watch.
The Broncos are underdogs in this game. We'll get into that coming up next.
It's that time again for the line of the week. The inside track to the favorites, the underdogs, and the over-unders.
I think I want my money back.
Now, here are Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today's Sportsbook Wire.
Hello, I'm Eston McLaren of SportsbookWire.com and BetSlippin' Podcast, and I'm joined by Jeff Clark, my colleague at SportsbookWire.com and BetSlippin' Podcast. And here's what you need to know about the Week 1 matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and New Orleans Saints. Tampa Bay is +145 on the money line, with New Orleans Saints favored at -176. Jeff, which side of that do you like?
I'm on the Saints. I'm on the favorites, -3.5. I'm big about their offensive continuity. Their offensive line is going to be the hold up against what should be a pretty good Tampa Bay Buccaneers pass rush. I'm not sold in the Buccaneers secondary right now, and how can you not be sold in the passing attack of the Saints?
Hey, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rob Gronkowski, let's go. All-star underdog team, +145, locking that in Week 1, a big upset in NFC South. Check out Sportsbook Wire for more with all odds from BetMGM Sportsbook. Subscribe to Bet Slippin' Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, John, I don't know if this line's moved after the Von Miller news.
They were 1-point favorites, and okay, after Miller, I think it shifted to 2.5
so
Titan.
I powered up the app this morning and saw that they were getting 2.5. You're saying they were originally favored at home, so that makes a little bit more sense. So Vegas is, that's about a 3-point swing with the Von Miller injury. Do you think that's legit?
Yeah, I think it's fair to do, because Von Miller, he's a big guy. He's a big player for them, and it's a big motivational thing. Like, you lose your star player right before the year, it's crushing. Like, not only do you lose his on-field talent, it hurts you emotionally. Like, that's your leader and that's your teammate, and now he's not out there with you anymore. So I think it's fair to swing the Titans to be favorites. I still think the Broncos have a good chance to win playing at home, because even with no fans, they still have the mile high altitude advantage, and in home openers they have an insanely good record. So I think that it's still, I would still pick the Broncos to win, but I understand why the odds makers would flip it to the Titans' favor after the injury.
I might say thank you and thanks for the points. I'll take the point. It's one player and it's Von Miller. I mean, I know how big and important he is, and I know he's a huge leader on the team, but it's one guy. And you're getting 3 points for that one guy. It's like, I'll take the points. The over-under is really low, John. 41. That's a low number. It's probably because Tannehill's gonna hand it off all game. He's gonna hand it to Derrick Henry, as I've been complaining about. I'm already mad that they're gonna hand the ball off 45 times in this game. But so I don't know. That number kind of screams to take the over. And as I've said on some of my other podcasts, when it screams to take the over, maybe you should think about taking the under.
Exactly. I think the same thing. You're just like, oh, of course it's gonna be over that. That's so low. But the Broncos, they were top 10 defense last year. The Titans were a good defense last year. And like we said, they just added Clowney. And the Broncos, they have a new offensive coordinator. They didn't have OTAs and mini camps with their quarterback that just has five career starts. So it's possible that their offense could be slow coming out the gate in week one and kind of have some hiccups. And who knows, maybe the Broncos score only 17 points. And who knows, maybe the Broncos defense shuts down the Titans offense like they did last year. The Titans didn't score any points against the Broncos. I don't think that'll necessarily happen again, but you could see either one or both of the defenses having a very good game. So I think it's possible that it could come in the under.
All right, I love it. Football is back. Like I said, we're going to have to wait a long time to get to that Broncos-Tennessee game. It seems like a long time away, but I don't know. John, how much football are you going to watch between Thursday and Sunday getting ready for this one?
No, I'll watch a lot. I'll probably have Red Zone on Sunday and flip back and forth between the intriguing games and then Sunday night and the Monday game leading up to it, and obviously the Thursday night game tonight.
Sure, yeah. No, I can't wait. So next week, we'll have a game to break down. We'll be able to break down Titans-Broncos. I'm looking forward to it. John, enjoy the games, and I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Talk to you then.
Thanks for joining us on the Broncos Wire podcast. We'll see you later.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.